Welcome everybody to Wednesday night service at Grace Community Church. Thank you all for being here if you're here in person, and thank you for tuning in online if you're watching online. My name is Wade. If you this is your first time tuning in or your first time coming here on a Wednesday night, let me go ahead and pray for us and we'll just get right into the message. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to get up here and share your word, Lord, and share what you put on my heart. Father, I just pray that you'd move me aside, Lord, and none of my opinions be spoke, but only your truth, Lord, and your word. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this message, open every heart and mind to receive it, God. I know it really spoke to me, and I just hope it really speaks to others, too. I just pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive it and help us to actually act upon it, Lord, and not just hear it. And Father, we'll give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You kind of had me going in a strange direction this week. It wasn't where I thought I was going to go this week, but that's what God gave me, so that's what I'm going to preach. If you were here last week we talked about investing, you know, not investing in the way the world sees it, or like you think about most of the time, like in stocks or bonds or gold and silver or anything like that. And, you know, those are good things to invest in, and I do think it's wise to do those things, but last week we talked about investing in different things, in eternal things like friendship. You know, what can I do to be a better friend? Or, you know, what does God's word say about that? And how we could build stronger, more godly relationships with each other, investing in each other. And not just with friends, you know, but investing in our children and our spouses and relationships with other believers so that we can be a more healthy body of Christ, a more healthy community to do life together with and be able to, you know, more effectively shine our light and glorify God in all that we do. You know, not just in our relationships, but as the church that God has called us to be. And one of our main verses last week that we, you know, referenced quite a bit was 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. And mostly what we talked about last week was the last part of the verse where it says, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And we focused more on the spirit than we did the body, which are God's. It says, you know, we always talk about glorifying God in our bodies and what we do, but a lot of times we miss the last part of that verse, and you know, we miss the growth that we need to make in our spirits, the changes we need to make so we can be the friends and the husbands and wives and stuff that we need to be. So that's mostly what we talked about last week, was making the changes. One of our big focuses was in ourselves, you know, not just outwardly in appearance and what other people can see, but making the changes in ourselves, you know, in our hearts and how we treat other people and how we represent God to other people so that we can be the men and the women and the friends and the parents and the husbands and wives that God has called us to be. You know, I said a second ago that God kind of took me in a direction I wasn't really expecting this week. And tonight's message goes along with what we preached last week. It's kind of about investing too, but it's also about preparation. Tonight's message is about seasons, and not just a whole lot of seasons, pretty much one season in particular. Josh talked a little bit about it on Sunday. You know, no matter what your life looks like right now, it's not going to stay that way. It's going to change, you know, no matter what situation you're in. You know, some of you might be going through the best time in your life so far, and you're, you know, maybe you're hoping that it stays that way and it's never ends. And some of you might be going through the hardest time you've ever experienced in your life, and you're wondering, you know, is this ever going to end? You know, on the other side of the spectrum? Or am I even going to make it through this? And if I do make it through this, you know, what's my life going to look like on the other side of this? To get started with, I want to read these verses in Ecclesiastes. I'm sure everybody's heard these, but Solomon tells us that life is always about seasons. He says there's a time for everything. So I just want to read through these real quick, and then we'll get on into the message. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, it says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Those are pretty famous verses. You hear them a lot, like at funerals and stuff. But what I want to focus on tonight, I think those are verses that we could use in life. Not so much at the end of life, but during life. You know, we are the body of Christ. And I think when we're going through these seasons, that's what the body is designed to do. You know, in Ephesians it tells us, and in Corinthians, that the body of Christ is meant to heal itself. You know, if you're going through a hard time, the body comes together to support you. It says if one member of the body is hurting, then all the other members of the body come together to help that one. So if we look at those verses as a way to do life instead of, you know, how to end life, then they take on a whole new meaning for us to support one another. I was listening to a study this week, and he was talking about how, you know, after COVID, a lot of people get separated, and they want to stay home and just do Bible by themselves and not be a part of church and this and that. And that's what he was talking about, is how the body of Christ heals itself. And he takes the other members to heal the one that's wounded. And he said, say you get an infected finger, and you put that finger in a drawer, you know, that's representing somebody just not coming to church, and you just put the anatomy book in there with that finger on how to fix it. And that made a lot of sense to me. He said, even the book says the first thing you need to do is connect that finger to the body. Then the head of the body, which is Jesus Christ, will instruct all the other members of the body to come together and give that finger what it needs. You know, the nutrients and the blood flow and everything to nurse it back to health. And that's the way we're supposed to be as the body of Christ. So in those verses there, you know, they give us a lot of hope when we're going through a hard time, because we can be sure that it's just a season. It's not always going to be like that. And they always give us wisdom. I mean, they also give us wisdom, too, to know if life is really good right now, that it's not always going to be like that either. You know, I'm not always going to be on top of the world. Eventually, we will go through hard times. And that's what Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, in verse 33. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we're going to have trouble in this life. Jesus said we would. And, you know, we'd be foolish to think that that's talking about everybody else except me. You know, I'm exempt from that. And nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. And a lot of people think that way. You know, we're doing our Bible study on the promises of God on Thursday evenings. And last week's study was on how Jesus is at the right hand of God. And he's always make an intercession for us, you know, when we're going through those hard times. And the verse for that is Romans 8:34. If you want the verse for that. It says, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So he's always making intercession for us because he knows we're always going to have trouble. We're always going to have struggles. We're always going to have sickness. And he's always going to be there for us to help us through them. You know, it says he is our high priest. He is the one that makes intercession for us. When we're going through hard times, he's the one that instructs the body of Christ what to do to help the parts that need help. And, you know, it also talked about in that study that a lot of people have this wrong idea of if I just come to Jesus and receive him as my Savior and live in obedience to him and be faithful in church and go to church, that nothing bad will ever happen again. You know, and that's just false. That's just wrong. And people don't come up with that on their own. They believe that because they've heard that. They've been told that. I've even heard preachers tell people that. If you'll just give your, you know, give your life to Christ, then all your hard times will be over. And that's just not true. We live in a fallen world, and we're all going to go through trouble. You know, I believe that too because that's what somebody had told me. But it's not the truth. You will have trouble in this life. Like I said, we live in a fallen world, and until Jesus returns, we're going to have trouble. And life's just going to be a whole bunch of seasons. We're going to have good seasons. We're going to have bad seasons. We're going to have sickness. We're going to have health. We're going to have joy. We're going to have sadness. You know, nothing in our lives will stay the same except one thing. There's only one constant in life, and that is Jesus Christ. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he'll be the same forever. And that's why our faith in Christ has to be the number one thing in our lives. That's the only thing that's steadfast and does not move. You know, in Hebrews, there's a verse that says he's our anchor for our soul. He's steadfast, unmovable. He will always be there. And that'll be what gets us through the hard times. And it'll be what keeps us grounded when we are going through the good times and remind us that we didn't get there on our own and wind up drifting away from God because we don't see the need for him at the time. You know, if we keep ourselves grounded in our faith, when we start feeling like we don't need God, he'll remind us, you know, that we do need him. So tonight, I want to talk about ways we can prepare for seasons that will come. You know, like I said, there's some seasons that we know are coming, and there's no way around them. And no matter what we do, they're going to happen. So most of the focus tonight is going to be on one season. And that's the biggest one that I can think of that's going to happen no matter what. Unless Jesus comes back, we're all going to get old, and eventually we will all die. And there's nothing we can do about that. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So there's nothing, you know, that we can do about that. That's inevitable because we live in a fallen world. But there are a lot of things we can do to prepare for that. You know, not so much in the death, but in our life. We know we're eventually going to get old. So there's a lot of things we can do to prepare for that. A lot of y'all know my story, and most of my life, you know, I didn't prepare for the future at all. You know, I didn't even think about the future. I just lived for today. I lived one day at a time, not even thinking about the future or any of the consequences of what I was doing at the time. And once I did surrender my life to Christ and sobered up and started, you know, focusing on what my life was, you know, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh no, I'm getting old. I finally realized that. And I hadn't made any preparations for the future at all. And that really discouraged me. And I almost gave up because I started thinking, now it's too late, you know, what's the point of even trying? But I can remember, you know, God kept speaking to my heart, and he just kept giving me this verse, Matthew 6:33, kept running through my mind. You know, God said, it's not a total loss, you still have me. And I remember I would repeat that verse to myself all the time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And, you know, even though I'd wasted my life up to that point and lived foolishly and didn't make any preparations, God promises if we'll seek him first, he will provide for us. So that's what I put my trust in. And I trusted God, and I started doing my very best to be obedient to him. And he did. You know, like I said, a lot of y'all know my story. At that point, when I first came to Christ, I was homeless. I didn't have a job. I'd lost everything I had. But I trusted God, and he really has provided everything that I need, over and above what I need, you know, to the point that now I can reach back and help other people that are in the same situation I was in 6 years ago. God is a really good provider. And that's why being a part of the body of Christ is so important. You know, I was talking a minute ago about how Jesus is the head of the body, and when he sees one of the parts of the body suffering, he gives instruction to the rest of the body to come to that area that's sick or hurting or is in need and help that part of the body out. So when God answers our prayers, when God helps us, he does it through his people. You know, and I'm living proof of that. My home, my work, you know, my job, everything I have is because somebody else has been obedient to God and stepped out in faith to help me when I needed help. Like I told you, I'd never been responsible. I never worked for anybody else. I'd always worked for myself. And while I was doing that, I never paid taxes. I never even thought about paying taxes. I just went through life without any care at all. But when I started trying to live responsibly, and I did start getting a paycheck because, you know, now I work for somebody else, I found out that the IRS does care about your taxes. And I knew I had to make things right with them to prepare for my future. So for the first time, I went and I filed my taxes. And it was a mess, to, you know, put it mildly, because I had never filed before. And, that, you know, at that point, I was 46 years old and had never filed. But they told me, you know, that if I would just start making these payments, that everything was going to be okay. So I made payments for like 2 years, I think, and I never missed a payment. I made sure I got it in there every month. But at the end of the 2 years, because of interest and penalties and all the other stuff that goes along with it, now I owed twice what I did to start with. And that didn't make any sense to me. And I was like, well, how in the world am I ever going to get out from under this? So that's when I knew I couldn't get out of that on my own. So I started praying to God, and I said, I'm trying to do what's right, and it's not working. You know, please help me with this. And this is a good example of the body of Christ, the way it works. You know, within a couple of months of me praying, somebody that didn't even know me well at all at the time gave me a check for the exact amount that I owed on my taxes. And they said, go get them paid so you can move on. And I did. And, you know, that's God's grace at work in the body of Christ. And grace means, you know, I didn't do anything to earn that. It's what grace means, is unmerited favor. You cannot earn it. It's a gift. So that's a perfect example of the body of Christ. And we've been talking about the body of Christ for a few weeks now. What I'm trying to get across is, if you really want security for your future, you know, you can't just put your trust in the bank or your bank account. But I've learned you can put your trust in God, put your faith in God. Proverbs 23 and verse 5 said that riches grow wings. It says, will you set your eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. And I saw that again in my life. Just a couple of months ago, I got up one morning and I went to work and I got a notification on my phone from the bank that told me that my bank account was $16,000 in the negative. And I was like, I don't even have $16,000, so how in the world is my bank account $16,000 in the negative? And it turned out there was a mix-up 30 years ago in the South Carolina child support system, and they lost all my payments. So now I owe them all that child support again, and I didn't know anything about it. So now I'm making payments on that. But the point is, you know, we should be investing in our futures, and we should be trying to get secured financially. It's good to, you know, put money in the bank and do stuff like that if you're able to do that. But we can't put our faith in that. You know, all it would take is one scammer. You see them on the news every day, completely wiping out people's bank accounts. You know, scammers can steal your money, or, you know, like I just said, like me, something you don't even know about can pop up, and then you owe a crazy amount of money you didn't even know you owed. Or the way things are today, the economy could collapse, and then our money ain't worth nothing. Or you could lose your job. Any of those, you know, there's any number of things that could happen at any time, and you wind up with nothing. But God's promises never change. You know, we just read a minute ago in Hebrews 13:8 that Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. So his word never fails, no matter what happens. As long as you're seeking God first, he'll never let you down. He says he will provide for you. So true security comes in knowing that you belong to God and you belong to the body of Christ. You know, we read, I think it was 2 weeks ago when we were talking more about the body of Christ. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, this is what I was talking about. It says, where one member of the body suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, like we read a while ago, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And even though you're still going to face these hard times, you don't have to face them alone. You've got the body of Christ surrounding you to help you, and you can help others too, like I was saying. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, verse 15, goes right along with that verse. It says, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with those that weep. We don't have to go through these things alone. We can go through them together. And, you know, finances is a small area to me that we need to be worried about, because God is our provider. So that's just one area that we should be preparing for in our season of getting older, and we should prepare for it, but our faith shouldn't be in that. But what about when we start getting older and we can't do the things for ourselves that used to be, you know, so easy for us to do? Last week we talked about investing in people, you know, in friendships and our children. And just like you have to show yourself friendly in order to have friends, you have to care for other people in order for them to care about you. You know, we've also been talking about sowing things now that we want to reap later on in life. And I think that's a huge part in preparing for when we start getting older. You know, it breaks my heart to know how many elderly people are sitting by themselves and they don't have anybody around them to care for them. And there's more of those around than we like to realize. You know, a lot of people, they overlook them, they ignore them, they act like they're not there, act like they're invisible, but they're all over the place. I mean, there's so many elderly people around that have nobody to care for them. And if we're not, you know, caring for others. I don't want to wind up like that, you know, and I don't think any of you do either. And if we want somebody to take care of us when we get older, you know, what kind of seeds are we planting now? You know, Proverbs 19 and verse 17, it says, you know, if we don't have compassion now, we're not going to receive it later. And now that's kind of what he's hinting at here. He says that he that has pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he has given him, he will pay again. The Lord will repay you. And I don't think he's just talking about money. I think he's talking about kindness and caring about other people and helping people when they need help. You know, if we'll do that, if we're freely helping others, then others will help, will freely help you when you need help. And another good thing to look at, and we did talk about this last week too, you know, are we encouraging our kids and building strong relationships with them? Or encouraging our youth and discipling them? You know, those are the people that are going to be grown up by then, and they'll be there to help us if we'll nourish those relationships with them now. But if all we do is complain about them and their generation instead of teaching them, you know, the way that they should go, like we talked about last week, and discipling them, they probably won't want anything to do with us when we get older and do need their help. You know, I tell you all the time, I feel guilty because I don't get to do as much for my mom as I would like to. But I am, you know, preparing for the time when she does need my help. I think that's something that everybody should do. The Bible says to honor your father and your mother. And I think we should do that. You know, I want to be there for her because she's always there for me. You know, we have to treat people how we want to be treated. Not just today, but we got to look ahead, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now. I know a lot of old people that nobody wants to be around them because they've been grouchy their whole life. You know, they didn't want to take an interest in the young people and teach them the right way to do things instead of just complaining about them, complaining about their generation. And now, you know, nobody wants anything to do with them because of the way they've treated them their whole life. But on the flip side of that, I know a lot of old people that, you know, people flock around them and would do anything to help them because they've always been there for them. They've been the ones that encourage them, and they've been supportive of them, teach them how to do those things. And they're patient with them and willing to invest in them. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, if we want somebody to care about us when we get older, we need to care about them now. You know, we need to show people that they mean something to us. And instead of complaining because young people don't know how to do anything, we need to be the ones that step up and teach them how to do stuff. And then when we do get old, they'll be there to help us. A good example of that is Howard and Sandy. If y'all don't know them, they've got I don't know how many foster kids have been to their house. I think it's close to 70. And they've adopted quite a few of them. And I guarantee you, when they get old and need help, they're going to be surrounded by a lot of people that are, you know, more than glad to help them because they were willing to help them. Willing to be patient with them and help them when they needed help. I love what King David says in Psalm 37, verses 25 and 26. He said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. So he's talking about he spent his life being merciful to other people and lending when people needed money. And his seed is blessed because of his kindness. So it comes back to you. When you're nice to people, people are going to be nice to you. especially when you get old and you can't take care of yourself. So he's not just talking about money there or food. He's talking about he was never forsaken. He's also talking about his relationship with the Lord. If we'll go back in Psalm 37 to the two verses before that, in 23 and 24, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And, you know, that's those seasons we've been talking about. When you go through hard times, when you go through sickness, if anybody went through hard times, it was David. He ran for almost 20 years from Saul, you know, trying to kill him. They had to live in caves and this and that. And God never left his side. He was with him through every bit of that. So even though David had all the trouble, he had God, and God never forsook him. He stood strong in his faith, and he knew that no matter what was going on around him, God was still with him. So we need to invest in the people in our lives, and they will invest in us later. Another area that I want to talk to you about is our health. A lot of people get touchy about this. You know, I'm getting older myself, and God's been speaking to me about that. We can decide to do things now that'll help us age a whole lot better. We don't have to be sick and old. We can be in good health as we age, you know, if we take the steps to do that. And God's really been dealing with me on that. You know, I'm at the age now, I need to start paying attention to what I'm doing. So I'll be glad I did 10, 15 years from now. We need to think about ways we can invest in the future. Every time we think about investing in the future, or investing, we think about the future. But we can also invest in the past too. You know, I can look back at my past and use some of the choices I made then to invest in my future now. You know, just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, that all these things, he's talking about the children of Israel, all those things happened to them for our example, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Those things are recorded so we can look at the mistakes that those people made so we don't make the same mistakes. And, I can look back at my life and look at some decisions that I've made, and I can use that and learn from it so I don't make those same mistakes again. You know, we can use our past, and we can use other people we know. We can use their past too. If we're wise, we'll learn from other people's mistakes and not just our own to make better choices for our future. You know, that's just like talking about me. I know for me to go back drinking would be a huge mistake. So, you know, that's a no-brainer. I know that would harm me. But, you know, what about what I'm eating right now? What about exercising? And I'm really am thankful that God's bringing these things to my attention now so that I can do something about them before I get in the position to where I can't do anything about them. You know, I can remember when I was a kid, my nickname was Frog, because I could jump higher, I could jump farther than anybody else, I could run faster than all my friends. But I can't do that anymore. You know, I'm only 51 years old. I've got a fake hip. I've had it for 10 years. So my body aged really fast. And I've been thinking a lot lately about, you know, back when I did work for myself. Me and Travis were talking about this the other day, how I could pick up really heavy carpet and stuff all day long. Didn't even think about it. But now I've got a bad shoulder. I'm not nowhere near as strong as I used to be. I'm getting weak a lot quicker than I'd like to admit. You know, me and Dale talk all the time about, you know, how much harder things are now than they were not that long ago. You know, just 5 or 10 years ago. Things are not as easy as they used to be. But God's been showing me, you know, you are getting older and you're getting weaker fast. And you're going to continue to get weaker faster if you don't do something about it. So like I said, I'm glad he's showing me these things. And I have started doing something about it. I started a really super easy workout that I do every day. You know, not so I can get big and buff and impress people, but just so I don't go backwards, you know, so I don't get any smaller than I am now or get any weaker than I am now. You know, I want to keep what I have, and I want to keep it in good shape. I want to be a good steward of what God has given me. And, you know, it's a super ridiculously easy workout. It's not hard to do at all, but it keeps me from getting in worse shape, and it keeps me in pretty good shape for now, so that 5 years from now, I'm not looking back and wishing I would have done something 5 years ago. God kind of revealed to me, now is when you need to start doing this. So that's what I'm doing. So I'll still be able to do the things that I'm doing now because I'm investing in the next season of my life that's coming. And I don't always feel like doing that. You know, that's why it's called self-discipline. I have to make myself do it some days because I get home tired and I'm like, I don't really feel like doing that today. Or, you know, I don't have time to cook tonight. I'm just going to swing through here and get me a burger and some fries. But I know every little decision like that adds up. And the more of them that I make, the easier they are to make. So I think the older we get, the more self-disciplined we need to be. And it's not always easy making those choices, but I know those are choices that I'll be glad I made later. And, I said the food that I eat, my diet. God has shown me that I need to start making sure I eat things that are good for me so I don't wind up with health problems that I don't want later. You know, I don't drink soft drinks. I make sure I'm drinking water or something that's good for me. You know, I don't want to wind up not just getting older and weaker. I don't want to be sick, too. I don't want diabetes. I don't want all the things that comes along with those stuff. You know, Josh said Sunday I was telling him to eat salads. The only reason I told him that is because it's something that I'm doing myself. You know, I stopped buying sweets at the store. I don't buy them anymore. You know, if I don't have them at home, then I won't be able to eat them at home. I mean, I still eat some cookies here on Sunday morning and stuff like that, but I don't eat nowhere near as much sweets as I was. You know, I was already eating a lot of fish and chicken and stuff because I know that's good for you. But I didn't stop eating anything else that I was eating. I just added a salad to my meals. You know, no matter what I'm eating, I eat a salad first. And in doing that, then I've noticed that I eat a lot less of the things that could be bad for me because I'm eating a salad first. And in eating a salad first, I know I'm at least getting some nutrients from that. And that's going to help me digest the other foods. It's going to help keep me cleaned out and stuff. I know it's good for me. And I had to make myself do that too because I've never been a big salad person. But now that I've gotten used to them, I actually like them. And I look forward to my salad more than I do the other stuff that I'm eating. And I don't always want to do that either. Like I said a minute ago, it's real tempting. A lot of times I'm driving past 10 burger joints on the way home. It'd be a whole lot easier to just run through the drive-thru than it would to go home and make a salad. But I'm trying real hard to stick to that. So I didn't stop eating any of the other stuff that I was eating. I just added the salad to it, and it was that simple. A good example of that are Phil and Cindy. If none of you know Phil and Cindy, and I know they wouldn't mind me sharing this, they're both in their 70s, and you'd never know that hanging around them. I mean, they don't look that old, they don't act that old, but it's because they've had self-discipline all their lives. They watch what they eat, they exercise. Phil, he blew my mind. We went to my mom's property the other time for the Kids Outdoor Zone, KOZ, and we were clearing out trees and stuff. And I'm not sure of his exact age, but I know he's 70 something. He's like 73 or 74. He ran that chainsaw all day long and didn't bother him a bit because he takes care of himself. And that's how I want to age. I want to age and still be able to do stuff. That's a season I want to be prepared for. And all of these are good things, you know, and we should be doing them. But the most important thing we need to prepare for in any season of our life is our relationship with Jesus. You know, when hard seasons come, He is there to help us. You know, when we lose our loved ones, He comforts us. You know, it's good to watch our health and our finances and stuff like that. But the seasons that really stretch us are the ones that hit us emotionally and mentally. And you know, in our relationships with other people. Like I said, when we lose loved ones, you know, God's there to comfort us. And the other believers are there to comfort us. You know, when people abandon us, you know, God is faithful. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And if you belong to the body of Christ, if you've got a church family, you never have to go through that stuff alone because you've always got somebody to talk to. You don't wind up being one of those old grouchy people that nobody wants to comfort, nobody wants to help because they just can't stand being around them. You know, when we're going through hard times, He will provide for us and get us through them if it is a financial struggle. Or, like we said to start with, on the flip side of that, if we get really blessed financially, He'll help us use it wisely and not destroy ourselves with it. I've seen a lot of good people, you know, turn their back on their faith and destroy themselves because they won a lottery ticket or something. And they think that's the best thing ever happened to them. And in the end, it only enabled them to do things that destroyed them. So staying connected and being a part of the body of Christ helps us through all these different seasons that we're going to go through, you know, of loneliness, depression, anxiety, all those things that we just can't deal with on our own. We've got help right here in the body of Christ. And not only do we have help, but we can be the help for others too. You know, we said last week, and we were reading, bear one another's burdens, and we'll fulfill the law of Christ. We read that in Galatians 6. But most of all, when our appointed time comes, like we read about earlier in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die. You know, when our time comes, we'll have confidence when we meet the Lord, and we won't be fearful of it. You know, there's a huge peace that comes from not being afraid of death anymore. You know, I remember before Christ, you know, when I would start running out of something to drink, it would really freak me out. You know, I would have a nervous breakdown because I thought I was going to die because I needed a drink so bad. Now, you know, death don't scare me anymore because I know what's going to happen when my time does come. I'm going to go be with Jesus, and all my suffering is going to be gone. There's a whole lot of peace that comes in that. And our loved ones will have a lot of peace, too, you know, knowing where we are going into eternity. I know a lot of y'all have been to a lot of funerals, and it's not that hard to go to one when you know somebody lived for the Lord and you know where they're at. It's really hard to go to one when you're wondering if somebody is in heaven or hell. So that's one of the main things we need to prepare for. I know I'm living for God, so I don't worry about what's going to happen when I die. And that gives our loved ones peace after we do pass on. And it motivates them to live in a godly way too, so that they can come and be where we are and spend eternity with us. In closing, I want to read some more verses to you, and these are from Solomon 2. And it's telling us, you know, that we need to prepare for getting old and to keep our relationship with God foremost in our lives and plan ahead and treat people well so that they'll be there to care for us when we need them. You know, seasons come and go, but as long as we stay connected and we're part of the body of Christ, we can help one another through those hard times. So I want to read this to you out of Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read these out of the NLT because it's a whole lot easier to understand. I could read you the same verses out of the King James, but he's kind of giving them to you as a riddle in King James. It's kind of hard to understand. So I'm going to read these out of the NLT. And he's describing what happens to us when we get old. It says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. He's reminding us, you know, on purpose, live your life for God. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old. And say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember Him before the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars is dim to your old eyes. And rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember Him before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble. And before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember Him before your teeth, the few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Remember Him before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember Him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom, and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper, and the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember Him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you're young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well. For then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So those are pretty strong verses. And a lot of them have already happened to me. You know, my shoulder's bad. My legs are bad. And I'm out of teeth. That's going to happen to all of us. And I think a lot of times we get so busy in life and we're worried about other things that we forget to prepare for that stuff. And we wind up wishing we would have. So I know a lot of us are, some of us are older than others, some of us are younger than others. But no matter what a stage of life that we're in, there are things that we can start doing on a daily basis now that we'll be glad we did next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. But I think one of the main focuses, like we talked about last week, is caring for one another and helping each other through these times. You know, I'll be there for you, you be there for me. There's power in the body of Christ. And you don't have to go through anything by yourself. And then the Bible tells us we don't even have to grow old by ourselves. How we treat others is how they're going to treat us. So, you know, if we want to be surrounded by people that will help us when we need help, then we got to be willing to help people now, especially the younger generation. But that's what God laid on my heart this week, and I really have been making a lot of changes in my life that are still really awkward to me right now, but I'm glad He's telling me to do them, because I know later on I'll be glad I did. I already feel better. I'm only like a month into it. He's showing me all kinds of things I need to change. And not just finances, not just food, and not just exercise, but how I'm treating other people. You know, that's going to come back on you eventually. And I want it to come back in a good way. You know, I'm trying my best to sow good things So when I do reap a harvest, it'll be a good harvest. It'll be good consequences instead of bad ones. But that's what God lay on my heart this week, and I hope that spoke to somebody, and I hope it helps you to plan ahead for things that are coming. Like I said, there's always going to be things coming that you didn't see coming, just like the child support thing hit me sideways. I never expected that. But there are things that are inevitable that are going to happen, and we know they're going to happen. But a lot of times we get so busy in life, we just don't do anything to plan for them. So it's good to think ahead and plan for those things. But that's all I've got for this week, and I thank y'all for listening to me. And I really do pray that it helps somebody, and I pray that it helps you to make a plan and start doing some of these things that'll make your life a whole lot easier for you in the future. So I'll just go ahead and pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Thank y'all again for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online. Father, thank you for helping me to get up here and preach what you laid on my heart this week. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to truly think about our future and to think about the things that we can do now that'll make it easier for us then. And not just for ourselves, Lord, but for the other people in their lives. For the other people in the body of Christ. Help us, Lord, to know that how we live our lives and how we treat one another is going to affect all of our lives later on. And I pray that you help us, Lord, not to live just for ourselves, but to live for others too. And I pray that in doing that, Lord, and growing closer together and seeking you in that process, Lord, that we'll all grow closer to you and that we'll all bring glory to your name. Father, thank you for the love that you have for each and every one of us. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd be with all of us as we go home tonight. Please keep us safe. I pray for all those that are at home because they're sick, Lord, and can't be here in person. I pray that you bless them right where they are, God. Let them know that you're with them and that you love them. And Lord, we just thank you for all things. And it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.